Now, while we get ready for the new year of 2015, the political world is already in the process of building their 2016 and, of course, the race for president. Names already in the spotlight include, let's see, we got Jeb Bush, Hillary Clinton, Chris Christie, Elizabeth Warren, Rand Paul, even Bernie Sanders. More on top of that here to share his insight into the starting block of the 2016 presidential race and whether anyone has taken those first strides with any strength is Huffington Post blogger, political author, whose latest book is The Political Bible of Humorous Quotations from American Politics, Rich Rubino. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
HuffingtonPost.com is where you can find, of course, Rich's work along with the other journalists over there. And, you know, they always talk about differences between the Republican and Democratic side, Rich, but we sort of have a common thread between the two parties. We have on the left Elizabeth Warren, who a growing number of people want to see run and is noncommittal. And on the right, we see Chris Christie with the same situation.
Yep. Well, it's interesting also, I think, on the left. I think if you notice Elizabeth Warren, I think one of the reasons why her supporters and those in the ready for Warren movement are not giving up, in a sense, is that she continues to talk in the present tense. She says, I am not running for president.
Uh-huh.
Well, that may be true this second. But that doesn't mean that she won't. She's not saying a definitive, I will not under any possible circumstances run for president. So that's what's kind of keeping her supporters alive. And there's definitely a movement on the left that's kind of disaffected with Hillary, and they want somebody who's more anti-Wall Street, for example, and she would be their candidate. In terms of on the right, it looks like Chris Christie, I think, will probably run just because he was chairman of the National Governors Association last year, and normally speaking, that's a great place to collect IOUs from other candidates, to meet a lot of potential donors. Usually, like Mitt Romney held that position at one point. Michael Dukakis held that position at one point. Usually, it's kind of a stepladder for somebody who wants to run for the presidency.
And plus, he did get a lot of Republican governors, either back in or
yep.
into office. But on the right, with Jeb Bush dipping his toe with, I guess for all intents and purposes, an exploratory committee, you could say unofficially, what does that do for the money which makes this whole world go around? Does that go off of Chris Christie and the bank those IOUs for another time and drop their money on Jeb?
Well, theoretically, yes. And theoretically, I guess the other person this would certainly hurt would be if Mitt Romney decides to throw his hat back into the ring. But there's some murmurs that he wouldn't run if Jeb Bush were to run. But certainly there's going to be, I think, an establishment bracket and a kind of insurgent bracket. And I think Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Mitt Romney, and probably Lindsey Graham would be competing for the establishment bracket. And then the other side, the insurgency bracket, I think that right now that would be Rand Paul and probably Ted Cruz would be the two main candidates. And I think that what it's going to come down to is probably one candidate from the establishment, one candidate from the insurgency, and they're going to kind of, it's going to be the typical Republican establishment versus insurgency phenomenon, similar to, for example, back in 1964 when you had the Goldwater wing versus the Rockefeller wing. I think now you're going to have kind of the Rand Paul, Ted Cruz wing versus the more establishment Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney wing.
Talking with Rich Rubino, who is the Huffington Post blogger, political author, latest book, The Political Bible of Humorous Quotations from American Politics, HuffingtonPost.com on the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, with that analogy made for the right, can you really make it for the left? Because it seems like, at least in many people's eyes, Hillary is trying to be the establishment candidate, and you have Elizabeth Warren, and even Bernie Sanders has been making a few rumbles of saying, you know, if no one else will, maybe I will step in.
You know, it's interesting. I think the best possible scenario for Hillary is that everybody steps in, in a sense, because then they're all going to siphon off the anti-Hillary vote. The worst case scenario for Hillary would be if only one candidate steps in and the anti-Hillary vote all kind of consolidates. If it's only her against Elizabeth Warren, then that would be a lot worse for her than, say, her against Elizabeth Warren, Mark Schweitzer, Bernie Sanders, and as many candidates as you can field. It reminds me a little bit of 2000 when Al Gore was trying to clear the field. Bill Clinton endorsed him early, and so as a result, people like Dick Gephardt and John Kerry did not run for president, but Bill Bradley did. So the result was that all the anti-Gore, all the kind of those on the left were disaffected somewhat with the Clinton administration, all consolidated around Bill Bradley. And as a result, for a while, he was actually behind Bill Bradley. He, of course, came back and beat him, but it would just take take a lot more resources, and it would be a lot harder for her to I think, if there's only one candidate, than opposed to there being six or seven candidates all kind of competing to be the anti-Hillary.
Do you think Hillary is watching the Jeb Bush early steps to see if there is any, oh, God, not another Bush backlash? I mean, even Barbara Bush said, you know, we don't need another Bush running. There's got to be more than two families that can run for president.
Yeah, you see, you wonder, out of 320 million people, it's kind of hard to think that, you know, that those, that there would be only two families that would have this much power. But of course, Barbara Bush has since backtracked on that. But I don't know if Hillary is really looking for that, looking at that, because it is a different political party, and in the case of the Clintons, of course, it's not really that they are. It's not like that they go back, you know, the father, the son. It's more or less of a kind of just being married into the Clinton family, and she's not necessarily. It was just, you know, she basically married. She could say she married into the family, and she also said that she didn't necessarily come from the, you know, patrician roots, as say the Bushes did. So no, I don't think that's really going to be a factor. I think it's going to be a lot of media speculation about, you know, just how odd it is to have two families at that position. But I don't think that she's necessarily paying much attention to it.
Is the Democratic side of the ballot going to be damaged goods going into 2016 after what happened this past midterm?
No, I don't think. I think usually what you see is there's a midterm election, and then this kind of usually it corrects itself in the next election. I mean, for example, look at the 2010 midterm election. I think they lost about 63 seats, and then the Democrats did, and then by 2012 Obama came back 94. I mean, Clinton lost 53 seats. By 96 he came back. I mean, Reagan had a bad midterm election. It's amazing how But midterm elections, 2 years later, people tend to forget about them, and either the president is popular or he's not popular, the incumbent. But there doesn't seem to be a pattern in history where you have a midterm election and that carries over into the next presidential election.
Wrapping our time with Rich Rubino, blogger at the Huffington Post, political author. His latest book, The Political Bible, of humorous quotations from American politics, HuffingtonPost.com on the web, listening to Issues and Ideas. Rick Perry is an unusual situation. If you look at Governor Rick Perry of Texas, his job performance outperforms Chris Christie, Scott Walker, a few other governors, yet he just doesn't have the stage presence to seal the deal.
Well, it's amazing when you think about it, the fact that he took over as governor of Texas when George W. Bush became president. That's how long he's been governor. Of course, the governor of Texas is probably the least powerful position, governor in the country, in part because they don't really get to appoint much of a cabinet. Issues like land commission, for example, are voted in by the voters. They're not necessarily appointed by the governor. So it's a very, and by the way, the legislature only meets like 90 days every 2 years in Texas. So it's a very not so powerful position. But I think his problem was in the terms of his candidacy last time, I think kind of underwhelmed a lot of people. There was, first of all, the debate where he basically said you don't have a heart if you don't support allowing the children of immigrants to get the same to get in-state tuition, for example, which I think was really Mitt Romney really capitalized on, and that was probably the one position where he was to the left of most Republicans, and that certainly hurt him. And there was the oops moment where he was trying to name the three cabinet agencies that he would support closing down as president, and he gave two of them and couldn't give the third. So that's what kind of hurt him in the last election. But you know, I'm sure he's going to get a lot of money, and I'm sure he's probably going to compete with Jeb Bush for a lot of money, specifically in Texas. And he really hasn't stopped running since the last time. He spent a lot of time in Iowa, a lot of time in New Hampshire. This seems to be his passion, and I think that he will probably perform a lot better than he did in the last election, just because he's learned from it. And you know, this is a guy who's run. You know, he's been elected, reelected, reelected, and reelected in the second biggest state in the country, so you'd think he'd learn a lot of lessons from his previous campaigns.
And we can go through time, history of elections, and the first time at the plate is not always a home run for candidates.
No, absolutely not. I mean, Ronald Reagan, for example, certainly ran in 68, although it was more or less a very kind of ephemeral campaign. It was mostly at the convention. Then he ran in 76, lost to Ford, came back in 1980. Certainly George H.W. Bush had run in 1980, lost, but then he came back in 88. Bob Dole, John McCain, Mitt Romney had all run previous campaigns and had lost and then had come back. And had garnered the nomination. So, I mean, certainly the Republican Party there, it's littered with candidates who run at least once and then have come back. I think George W. Bush, I think, was the first candidate in a long time in 2000 who was really a first-time candidate. I mean, I think you have to go all the way back. Who was a first-time candidate who got the nomination? I would think you'd have to go all the way back probably to Barry Goldwater for another candidate who got the nomination on his first time around. I mean, you look at Nixon, certainly had tried it in 1960, then in 1968 got the nomination. You look at... Eisenhower was another one who won it on his first term, probably because he was a war hero. But you look at, I mean, Reagan, Bush, McCain, Romney. There's just a lot of candidates who have run at least once before.
And some people even theorize that we have yet to see who the party nominees are going to be step up yet. So, again, welcome to the world of politics. If you are a novice, and to keep on top of the facts, the flows, some information, as you just heard from Rich, too, a lot of the political history, which he's well-versed in. You can read his work and others at HuffingtonPost.com. He is a blogger at Huffington Post, political author. His latest book, The Political Bible of Humorous Quotations from American Politics, and just the fact that he can ascertain comedy from tragedy in the world of politics, that's a major accomplishment right there. Rich Rubino, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me on.